A very special treat for us. I got to meet on the phone months and months ago now a young man named Carter, and I got to talk to him for a long time and told him that we are able to have interns here at Buffalo Ridge. We've had many over the years. And we started a conversation back and forth, telling him what it consisted of and what it didn't consist of and what we did and didn't do. And then he was telling me about his, what he's involved in training. He goes to Pensacola Christian College down in Florida. And so the Lord just continued to lead down that path. And so lo and behold, Carter came, and he has been a real, real blessing. He is he's got a wonderful spirit about him, and I'm thankful for the way that he handles himself. And many of you have gotten to deal with him in a ministry setting, or maybe another setting, in a casual setting. But he, if you have, I think you would agree with me that the Lord has just blessed him with a wonderful spirit, great temperament, and so I'm thankful that God has brought him our way. He will be with us for a little while longer, then he's got some other plans for the summer, but I am very, very thankful for Carter, and it's a blessing to have him with us this summer. And then we always like to have our interns preach, but I'm very excited about this one preaching, and I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to use him to do tonight. So Carter, come preach for us. We're certainly glad you're here this summer, but we're even more happy that you're here tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good evening, church. Before we get into our message tonight, I'd just like to thank you all for this opportunity to be here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist. I'd like to thank Pastor and just you all for this opportunity to be an intern at the church. And I've learned a lot and had a great time, and you all have been a blessing to me. One of the things I've learned is that no matter how many times you clean that ball closet in the gym, it just seems to get messy within the first week of you cleaning it, and so you have to re-clean it again. But in all seriousness, I've also learned a lot of other things, such as how an ordination service would go or how a kids' program is supposed to be run, and it's just been a real blessing to me. And then I'd also just like to thank you all who gave those gift cards and stuff. It filled my belly up many times, and I'm just really thankful for all those gift cards to just help provide and be a blessing to me as I've been here. If you would, please turn your Bibles to 2 Peter 1, 1 through 9. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 9. Now, everyone here at some point has taken a math class, or at least I hope you have. Now, thinking back all those years, you took some addition problems. You learned some addition problems. And with those addition problems, you added things to get to an answer. And those addition problems, they also helped contribute to the growth of learning more math problems in the future. But the passage that we'll be looking at this evening, we'll see that there's things that we need to add in order to get to an answer. And we'll see how we can also grow more in our walk with the Heavenly Father. The answer that we'll be adding up to, that we'll be looking at, is how to become more fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. In our passage of 2 Peter 1, 1 through 9, we'll see that God wants you to add to your faith. If you'll follow along as we read God's word. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now for context, this is Peter's second epistle to the Jewish and the Gentile Christians that are scattered throughout. And this was mentioned in 1 Peter. And he was currently, as this epistle was written, under the Emperor Nero of Rome at the time. And while his first epistle, Peter's first epistle, emphasized the grace of God, his second epistle that's written here where our passage is found, it emphasizes the knowledge of God. And this knowledge doesn't entirely just refer to an intellectual understanding of truth, but it also refers to a living participation, living out God's truth from his word. Peter, in our passage, he begins with reintroducing himself as a servant, as an apostle of Jesus. He states that he is writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. These are our fellow brothers, our fellow sisters in Christ. So while he's writing to these Jewish and these Gentile Christians scattered about, this passage that we're looking at this evening, it also applies to us as a church. It applies to those who have obtained that like precious faith, who have obtained salvation. Now that we've looked at the background context of this passage, let's first take a look at our first point and where we see God's grace. God's grace. Without God's grace of giving mankind an opportunity to be saved, Peter couldn't have written the phrase to them that have obtained like precious faith. It is by God graciously sending his son to sacrifice himself on the cross for our sin so that we can be saved. Ephesians 2:8, it reaffirms this by saying, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Yes, we need to have faith that Jesus died on the cross for sins, that he rose again, but it's through God's graciously sending his son to do that, that we're able to have that faith. Warren Wiersbe, he says that our God is the God of all grace, and that he channels that grace to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Peter, he then says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." When by God's grace we become saved through faith, we experience a peace with the Lord, but we also experience a peace of the Lord. This grace and peace that Peter says be multiplied unto you, it refers to grace and peace being multiplied toward believers as they continue walking in their spiritual walk with their Heavenly Father, as they continue trusting in the promises that he's graciously given us. We see in verse 3 that Peter, he writes about God's divine power and how that power has given believers, as the verse says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We need no things that this world can offer us because God has given us all that we need. He's given us his word. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. The world can't offer us anything else that we would need. He's given it to us. And using the tools as the Bible, we can follow what our next point highlights and where we'll see how Peter emphasizes how we need to grow in godliness. We need to grow in godliness. According to Lifeway research, about 66% of teens who were attending church in high school, when they became an adult, eventually stopped going to church for about at least a year. Now, while there may be different underlying causes, one of the biggest underlying causes I submit to you today would probably be because they weren't adding to their faith. They weren't abounding, as this passage talks about, in their faith. 2 Peter 1:5, Peter says, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith." In our Christian walk, we need to be adding to our faith to grow closer to him, to fulfill the call that the Lord has given unto us. Not only should we be adding to our faith, though, this passage, Peter says, we need to be giving all diligence. When we're adding to our faith, we need to be giving forth a diligent effort. This word diligence in this passage, it's referring to a sense of earnestness. When we are diligently adding to our faith, we need to be sincere. We need to have a serious effort in our addition to our faith. We ought to want to add to our faith to better serve the Lord, to show good works for his glory. Verse 5, it continues to say that we need to add to our faith virtue. Now, this word, it refers to excellence, and it's mentioned as something earlier that God has called us to. When we glorify the Lord, we are showing forth excellence in his eyes. We are showing forth this excellence because our purpose as a believer, it's to glorify God in all things. This is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10:31. We should seek to show this virtue, this excellence, by living a life that is glorifying to our Heavenly Father, that is showing the characteristics that Christ showed here on this earth. Now, to keep getting to our answer that's mentioned earlier in the introduction that I talked about of being more fruitful in our knowledge of the Lord, we then must add knowledge, to that virtue. Now, each one of these qualities that Peter talks about in this passage, it's to be built on upon the next. It's to be keep adding, like we talked about. And this knowledge, it's referring to a sense of discernment of right and wrong in our day-to-day lives. We cannot approve that which is good and the acceptable and perfect will of God until we know it. We can figure out how to discern right from wrong. We can grow in our knowledge by looking into the Word, God's Word that He's given. We have the Scripture, we have that tool in front of us, but we need to be daily diving into the Word to know, to have that knowledge to discern the right and wrong. It's found in His Word, but we need to be committed to diving into that Word daily to find out how we can improve in our walk with Him. Peter, he then says, we must add to our knowledge temperance. We can grow in godliness by showing forth self-control. And a verse that immediately pops in my mind is 2 Timothy 2:22, where Paul is reminding Timothy that he is to flee from youthful lusts. The devil, he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And in a world that is constantly trying to turn our focus away from God and to just be accepted with how we're living in our sin, we need to be showing forth temperance. We need to be showing forth self-control when other people are pressuring us into doing something. We need to have the temperance to say no to that peer pressure. We need to be showing forth self-control because the world and the devil are constantly trying to turn us away from the Lord. Amen. The believer should then add to his temperance patience. We're going to endure hardships throughout our life. It's bound to happen. Now, maybe you ought to be patient, and maybe it's a job promotion or bonding a relationship, waiting for that relationship to bond with someone that you know. Maybe it's a patience within a trial that is going on in your life. We may not know what that trial is, but we need to be having patience, that knowing that God is in control and that He's allowed it for a purpose, and we just need to have patience through that trial that has been presented in our life. Patience, it takes time to develop, though, but if you're adding to your faith, if you're continuing to add these different qualities that Peter talks about, you're going to grow in your godliness. You're going to grow in your patience as you go through those trials. The next quality that Peter says to add is godliness. Now, this refers to a man who is right in his relationship with God, but also who is right with his fellow man. It's possible to add godliness simply by making decisions that the Lord says are right. If you all have been adding to your faith, we talked about that step of knowledge where we have the knowledge, we have the Bible to discern right from wrong. This godliness is now putting that discernment, that knowledge, into action. It's now living out and applying what God's Word has said in our day-to-day lives. If you all have been adding, if you are diving into the Scripture to read what it says, how to discern that right from wrong, you must then apply it through godliness. Jesus Christ, He was tempted in all ways, yet He knew no sin. Jesus Christ, He had the knowledge. He was omniscient. He had the knowledge, all knowledge. But then He showed that godliness in applying that knowledge that He knew. We as a church need to show forth and live after how Christ exemplified in His life. We should then add to our godliness brotherly kindness. We must show forth a sincere love to our fellow brothers, our fellow sisters in the body of believers. People here know what a fake love and a genuine love looks like. Are you showing forth a genuine love to your fellow believers? As a church, we need to be edifying one another. We need to be lifting one another up in Christ, not tearing each other down. As mentioned earlier, this world, it's constantly trying to tear us away from each other, to tear us away from God. The devil wants there to be discontent within the church so that he can sneak in. Yet, if we are in choosing to show forth brotherly kindness, to edify one another within the body of Christ, then we're adding to our faith. Peter, he then finishes with the last quality that we are to add to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, this type of love, it goes out to all people. This is an agape love. It's the same type of love that Christ showed when He died on the cross for mankind's sin. The difference between this kind of love and brotherly kindness, it's that we are to love others in spite of the differences that we have. This shows forth a good, it shows forth a godly testimony to others. It shows forth the same love that Christ showed all people. Are you going out in the community and showing a charity, showing that agape love to other people? Are you caring about their well-being of where they'll eternally end up? Are you sharing the gospel with them? Peter then says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If we have these qualities in us and abound in them, we will be more fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. That is the answer that we have been adding up to in how we are growing in godliness. It is important to be adding to our faith, adding these qualities, but we also must be abounding, as Peter says, in them. These qualities that we are adding to our faith, they ought to be overflowing in our lives so that other people can see us growing in godliness. Other people can see us adding to our faith. When these qualities are overflowing in our life, when they're abundant, other Christians may be inspired to do the same thing. And this cycle continues throughout the church as we all continue to grow, to abound, to add to our faith, to grow more in our knowledge of the Lord. Peter, though, he does give a warning to those that do not add to our faith and abound in it by showing the potential of our last point, and that there's grief from going away. In verse 9, Peter says that believers who lack these qualities, whether they stop adding to their faith or they simply lack faith altogether, is blind and cannot see afar off. You must be exercising your faith. You must be improving on it, or else you will be short-sighted. There are Christians who are only looking at the things that are close to them because they cannot see afar off. They're only searching for the needs that are near to them and not searching for others' needs because they're not trying to see the bigger picture. They're lacking to add the qualities that the Lord wants them to have, that the Lord wants them to improve on. They're lacking to see the greater picture that God has in store for them because they are so focused on themselves. They're not adding to their faith. Are you one of those people? Are you not adding to your faith? Are you content with where you're at in your spiritual walk with the Lord? We need to be adding to our faith, though, church. We need to continually grow in our walk with the Lord. You can have a beautiful church, rich in goods, just like the church of Laodicea that's mentioned in Revelation 3. But if you are lacking those qualities or lacking to add to those qualities that Peter urges us to abound in, then we may turn out blind just as that church was. Now, who here knows the game Jenga? Raise of hands. All right, I think most of you all know it. Well, if you don't know, it's basically this giant tower game of these wooden blocks. So maybe Brother Rich, I've been talking with him throughout this internship and got in a good relationship with him, but maybe Brother Rich and I are playing a game of Jenga. And we have the tower. It's all set up perfect at first, and we're taking turns to take out these Jenga blocks one at a time. And slowly, as we're taking these pieces out, the tower, it starts to lean one way or another, and eventually he'd probably pull out the wrong one and it'd fall down to the ground, you know, and then I'd be the winner. But if we look at that Jenga tower as maybe our walk with the Lord as our adding to our faith, when that tower is built up at the beginning, it's stable, it's upright, it's how it's supposed to be. When our spiritual walk, when we're adding, when we're abounding in our faith as Peter wants us to, we are upright, we are standing firm in him. But if we're maybe missing some of those Jenga blocks, if we're missing some of those qualities that Peter talks about in this passage, if we're not adding to them, our spiritual walk, it might start to lean away from where the Lord wants us to go. It may start to crumble under itself, and eventually we fall away from him. It's important that we have all the pieces, the qualities, that we can stand firm in our walk with God. Do not fall astray from what the Lord wants for you. He wants you to be more fruitful in the knowledge of him, and this comes by adding to your faith. Throughout this passage, we have seen that God is so gracious to us. We saw God's grace. He's done so much for us. Many of you can count so many blessings, but there's so much more that you probably can't even think of that God has blessed you with in your lives. We saw that we need to and want to know more about the Lord, that we ought to be growing in our knowledge with Him. And in order to do this, you must be diligent. You must be sincere in your effort to add to your faith, to abound in it. This is how you get to that answer of becoming more fruitful in the knowledge of Him. Peter, he lays out the answer and how to add to our faith, but you have to be the one to commit to it. You have to be the one to actually apply these qualities into your life. So tonight, are you choosing to add, to abound in your faith? Or instead, are you lacking to see, to add some things, and maybe becoming blind to the bigger picture that God has in store for what is in store for you in your life? Because you ought to be adding to your faith to grow closer to Him. As we close tonight, if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I'm very thankful for this opportunity to present this passage to this church this evening. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be here and that you've graciously given me this opportunity to be at this internship, and it's been a great blessing to me. But I challenge everyone who's here today that they would see and look into their lives to see if they're adding to their faith. Are they abounding in it? Are they adding to these qualities so that they can grow more in knowing about who you are, about how to discern right from wrong, to live a life that is glorifying you and showing a godly testimony for your name, Lord? Or maybe there's some people out here who are struggling. Maybe they are content in their walk with the Lord. They feel like that where they're at in their spiritual walk is enough. Maybe they are not adding to their faith as they should be. I challenge that everyone out here will continue to add, and myself included, that I will abound in these qualities that Peter has laid out for us in this passage. We love you, Lord, and I pray that as we go home tonight, we'll think about this passage, and I pray that it will have some sort of impact on you. And I'll turn it over to Pastor now.
As we pray tonight, if you're thinking about the things that Brother Carter mentioned, it's an adding game. Add to your faith virtue, and it goes on and on what we're supposed to add. And I challenge you to do some soul searching. Have you been adding? Or have you been content to stay where you've been for a long time? It's amazing, when we were young, either young in age or young in our faith, we understood, because it was told to us again and again, you got to grow, you got to grow, you got to grow. But somewhere, many of the people in this room, you've been saved for decades. And it's sort of normal, although wrong, to get stagnant. We're supposed to be adding. And I challenge you tonight to take these words to heart. Are you adding? Adding to that life, that Christian walk, that faith. If you're able to, stand together with us as they play. If God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. You need to pray with me or pray with Carter. We'll get somebody else if you'd like to just have somebody to pray with about some matter going on in your life. You come. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been that Christian. You are saved and you've got faith, but you haven't been adding like you should. You haven't been allowing the Lord to do a work in your heart. Why don't you make that right tonight? Say, Lord, I want to grow. Maybe you're here this evening, not sure that you're saved, not sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you step out and come? And let me take a Bible and show you how you can be sure of that. I spent much of my life worrying every night that if I died that night, where I'd go. That's no way to live. If that's you, my friend, please come and let me take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. Christ is your Savior. Heaven's your home. You're saved and secure, settled. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, you come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I'm going to ask you to be seated one more time. Carter did a great job. Praise the Lord. We don't usually do this for preaching, but let's give him a hand, would you? And We're thankful for him. At the end, we'll have him stand out in the lobby and you get by and greet him and thank him for bringing the word. He did a great job. I think it was very, one word is smooth, Carter, smoother than I am, that's for sure. So thank the Lord for him. Well, I'm grateful for the Lord bringing Carter our way, and I hope that if you haven't got to know him very well, you'll at least get to, he doesn't have much more time with us, but hope you get to know him a little bit. Well, as soon as live stream is done, we've got a